In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. At the ending of the Gospel reading, we heard the words, "For many are called, but few are chosen." You probably have wondered what that really means, if you were paying attention when you read it, because it's not the most obvious statement. For many are called, but few are chosen. Why would many be called, but few be chosen? We have a certain variety of Protestants that would like us to believe that God from all eternity decided who would go to heaven and who would go to hell, and that there's nothing that any of us can do about that. We're either among the elect, the chosen, or else we're not. But that is not what is being talked about here. What sense would it make for God to call everyone? Because if you look at all the people that are called in this parable, Christ is telling his servants to go to the highways and the hedges to try to compel people to come in. So everyone's called. Why would he call everyone if it was basically just say, "Gotcha, you're not really called, you're not going to be chosen, you were called, but you weren't chosen"? That's not at all the point of this parable. When we look at the parable, we see that it was the responses of the people who were called that determines whether or not they were among the chosen or not. In the history of God's interaction with the Old Testament people of Israel, God selected Israel among all nations to reveal himself the most completely, despite the fact that the Jews often backslid and rebelled against him. But there was always a faithful remnant of people who preserved the purity of the faith. And so when the gospel was preached, Christ admonished the apostles to begin at Jerusalem and then in Judea and then to go throughout all the world to preach the gospel. But the gospel was first preached to the Jew and then to the Gentile, as St. Paul says in his epistles. But we see this in Acts chapter 13, beginning with verse 44. It's an example of Paul's habit. When he would go and preach the gospel in a new city, the first thing he would do was he would go to the synagogue. And he would start teaching the gospel. And he would usually find that a fair number of the Jews in these synagogues would embrace the gospel. And these Jews that embrace the gospel form the core, the original core of most of the early churches. But then there were also those that rejected the gospel. So those were the first enemies of the church that we had. And in this section it says, "The next Sabbath day came. Almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye have put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles.'" So what is it saying there? He's saying, you got first dibs. You were the people who already were the most primed to understand what the gospel was all about. But you put it from you. You've judged yourself unworthy of everlasting life. So it wasn't God's decree from all eternity that decided that these people were not going to be chosen. It was their own hardness of heart. They chose to resist the gospel. And so when we look throughout all the Old Testament, the Old Testament was foretelling of the coming of Christ. And when Christ came, the banquet was ready. The fatted calf had been slain, and they were the first to be invited. But among the great and powerful of the Jews, very few responded, and the rest refused the invitation. Among the poor, many more responded, but still there was room at the feast. And so the blind, maimed, and crippled Gentiles who had not known God were invited, and many of them came. In each case, the invitation was real. All could have come. All could have responded. All could have been chosen. But those who judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life by their refusal to come to the banquet and to repent and believe the gospel were not chosen because of their response to the invitation. "None of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper," Christ says. Why? Not because he decided from all eternity they would not taste of his supper, but because they refused the invitation. We are preparing to enter into the celebration of the Nativity of Christ. All are invited to join in this earthly feast, which is an image of the eternal banquet that is to come. Don't judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life by failing to respond to the invitation, not just by being here present bodily, but by coming to the services with your hearts open and awaiting the coming of the Savior, repenting of your sins and believing the gospel and trusting Him for your salvation. Amen.